The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to our show at 6:05. I'm Randy Corcoran, your pumped-up purveyor of principled, passionate, impeachment hope-exposing patriotism. And you're listening to Denver's only live local conservative Saturday morning show. So good to have you along. Phone number here is 303-696-1971, 303-696-1971. And just love the listeners who are up early sending me notes and ideas, audio clips, all kinds of different information. There's just so much to deal with and so little time. It's the one problem with only having 3 hours one time a week, but we'll get right to it. I was flying back from a visit to Pittsburgh, Kansas with my dad yesterday, and after this week of ludicrous, ridiculous impeachment hearings, impeachment investigation hearings, I thought it was very, very important to wear the MAGA hat, the Keep America Great hat, and gauge the public reaction. As you know, I've worn the hat on many trips. Wear it in downtown Denver, wear it into restaurants, wear it on airplanes, have had lots of great feedback and input from TSA agents, police officers, military folks, high school girls, their moms, just all across the country and all across the races, the genders, the ages, the professions, nothing but positive. And yesterday there was a guy who I wanted to offer him a chiropractic treatment. I mean, he didn't want to say anything, but he looked and he nodded and he jerked his head back up, you know, and put the thumb up. So not aggressively, but just so intensely, I thought maybe he was going to throw out his back or something. But once again, sitting on the aisle seat as people come in, gauging their reaction to the hat, it was about 99-1. And I guess what I should say about that is a lot of people just don't react. They don't. They look or they don't look or they look away. And you wonder about the ones who just look away quickly. Maybe they're just dying to rip that thing off my head. I don't know. But never, ever, ever has it been more important during the presidency of Donald Trump to, if you stand with him, if you support him, to be willing to say so. Yesterday's testimony from Ambassador Yovanovitch was absolutely amazing to me. The Tuesday testimony, or Wednesday testimony, was such a flop, such a massive flop. No smoking guns, just people who heard people, who talked to people, who wondered about people, who overheard and then read somebody else's mind, and, you know, on and on and on. And what was that great line that Jim Jordan did on Wednesday with Ambassador Gordon Sondland when he read he was actually Ambassador Taylor was the witness, but he read to Ambassador Taylor the amended affidavit or supplemental affidavit of Ambassador Sondland. And just to give you a reminder, this is the lack of facts that have been presented to the American people so far about grounds to remove the president. And this really sums it up. Jim Jordan was reading to Ambassador Taylor. This is the declaration of Ambassador Gordon Sondland. I, Gordon Sondland, do hereby swear and affirm as follows. Ambassador Taylor recalls that Mr. Morrison told Ambassador Taylor that I told Mr. Morrison that I conveyed this message to Mr. Yermak on September 1st, 2019, in connection with Vice President Pence's visit to Warsaw and a meeting with President Zelensky. And then Jordan said, this is the clarification. We got six people with four conversations, and this is where you say, Ambassador Taylor, star witness, that you got your clear understanding. And it really didn't get any better than that on Wednesday for the Democrats. And they knew it. The ratings weren't good. Latest Rasmussen poll, 50% approval rating for Donald Trump. Fundraising, massive amounts of money pouring into the Trump campaign after the first day of these so-called impeachment hearings. And so they had to change the narrative yesterday. Between Wednesday and Friday, it went from being quid pro quo to being bribery. The president was bribing President Zelensky. It's absolutely outrageous. Bribing President Zelensky, who did not know that there were any considerations about withholding funds. Withholding funds, foreign aid, a policy of this president's to not give money to countries that are not supporting American interests. That seems pretty logical to me. And so they had to change the narrative. They did poll testing. I kid you not. They did poll testing to see which of the different crimes that they're trying to fabricate against President Trump polled better in battleground states. Look it up. They did it. Which word, which crime polls better in battleground states if you're trying to take out the President of the United States? And the one they came up with was bribery. So that's all you heard on CNN, MSLSD, sometimes on Fox News, certainly on CBS, ABC, NBC, all the usual criminals. And that's what they're going to go with now. Not only is bribery more understandable than quid pro quo, but it's in the Constitution. If we can get them on bribery, then we've got an impeachable offense. So the thing that they had to do to change the narrative to try and get something more compelling that would actually grab the American people and say, oh my God, this president, he's so evil. He is so awful. He's so vicious to other people. So they brought in Ambassador Yovanovitch, and they gave her all the time she wanted to make her opening statement, which, of course, is appropriate, absolutely fine. Seems like a nice enough lady. Clearly very, very deep into the bowels, for lack of a better word, of government. The we know better than you class. The we understand what the people say, but they don't really know what's going on. We, the unelected bureaucrats, will make the decisions class. Someone who, to her credit, devoted her life to public service, I am sure, as anyone who supported Hillary Clinton, anybody who supported the coup during the Russia collusion hoax and the obstruction hoax and the Mueller report, and even before the president was sworn in as president, all of those efforts that we'll hear more about in this hour to take out the president early on, they all think they're doing it because they know what's best. They know what's better for you. We can't have a disruptor who comes in and tears up what we've been working on for decades. Somehow, for some reason, they can never step outside of their day-to-day activity and their masterminded schemes and take a look at the last decade, two decades, three decades, and say, you know what? A lot of these policies have been a failure. Trillions of dollars, tens of thousands of killed or injured American young people. all of those resources, all of that possibility, those families that are destroyed, and where has it gotten us so far? Someone comes along and says, I'm not going to do it that way anymore. The people of the United States of America elect him. And these masterminds say, no, I know better than you. Hillary Clinton is in England right now. She is touting her new book about powerful women. And while she is in England, no one, and I looked, and I, you know, someone could have asked this in an interview, and it's just not up on the internet, or I didn't search it properly. But in all the big interviews, the ones that are tweeted all over and easily found on the internet, not one person asked Hillary Clinton in her book written with her daughter about powerful women why Margaret Thatcher is not included. And that tells you everything you need to know about the mentality of these leftists, of these deep staters, of these bureaucrats who absolutely believe that they know better than you. And by God, no elected president of the United States is going to come along and change our schemes, change our plans, change our policies that we've been working on and failing at overall for the last 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Just not going to happen. We're not going to let it happen. So they had to come up with a new theme, and the new theme is Orange Man Bad, Orange Man Mean. And in order to engender sympathy, they gave Ambassador Yovanovitch all the time she wanted in her opening statement, and I don't know if, who helped her with it or who gave her ideas about how to present herself. But her goal was to present herself as a person who has dedicated her life to advancing the interests of the United States, regardless of what the citizens think or who they elect as president or what his decisions are. And that she was hurt. She was injured emotionally. The impact on her family and her individual psyche and well-being was damaged when the president, just 3 months before the end of her duty in Ukraine, recalled her. And as it came out in the hearings yesterday, there were high up folks in Ukraine who said she was not working with the new president, the new anti-corruption, elected in a landslide president of Ukraine. She was working with the old folks, with the old ideas, headed in the old direction. She's not working with us. They complained about her because she interfered in their election. And so because the president removed her 90 days before her tour of duty in Ukraine was set to expire anyway, she was hurt. She was devastated. The president was critical of me in public. He's so mean, that president. And the Democrats just hemmed and hawed and oohed and awed at how horrible that must have been for her. Now, you know, I'm just an old country street lawyer, 22 years now, and I deal with people, street-level folks with street-level problems. And I can't tell you the number of military clients I've had who had their lives in order and things were going well, and all of a sudden the person in charge of their future said, by the way, we're shipping you 7,000 miles away. Or we're taking you from your native home here in Colorado and sending you off to Alaska or Hawaii or Timbuktu. And you know what you do? When you make the decision to put yourself in that position and your boss decides that you're more useful, better situated to be somewhere else, you say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. You pack up and you go do your job. And I'll tell you what, Ambassador Yovanovitch could not help it. She could not help it. And I want you to hear just a minute or so of her commentary about just how important these deep state ambassadors are to themselves and how important they should be to you This is Ambassador Yovanovitch yesterday.
And we make a difference every day. We are people who repeatedly uproot our lives, who risk and sometimes give our lives for this country. We are the 52 Americans who 40 years ago this month began 444 days of deprivation, torture, and captivity in Tehran. We are the dozens of Americans stationed at our embassy in Cuba and consulates in China who mysteriously and dangerously, and in some cases perhaps even permanently, were injured and attacked from unknown sources several years ago. And we are Ambassador Chris Stevens, Sean Patrick Smith, Ty Woods, and Glenn Doherty, people rightly called heroes for their ultimate sacrifice to this nation's foreign policy interests in Libya 8 years ago. We honor these individuals. They represent each one of you here and every American. These courageous individuals were attacked because they symbolized America.
She literally compared her and all other ambassadors to Ambassador Stevens and the other brave heroes who were left to die by Hillary Clinton in Benghazi. And while I may understand how people who take the time out of their life, away from their families, or drag their families with them off to some of these hellholes or these dangerous places or wherever it is that they choose to go, are in a brotherhood and a sisterhood, to be politically correct. But what in the world did any of that have to do with the impeachment of the President of the United States? This was all about her feelings and trying to tap into yours. The Democrats know that they don't have the goods to get this president. Their star witnesses this week, really all three of their witnesses this week, have been a flop factually. And so once again, they want to turn the attention to the evil, mean orange man, President Donald Trump. And in order to draw the conclusion that during the transcript of the second call with President Zelensky, after the two of them had exchanged pleasantries and accolades and congratulations and let's root out corruption, and yes, we're looking forward to buying missiles, and then when the president says, but I need a favor, or I need a favor though, to infer into his mind that what he was saying in secret code during this translated exchange was that if you don't give me what I want, I'm not going to give you what you want. It means we have to read his mind. We have to impeach a president based upon one sentence in an otherwise perfect call, and rip him out of office, overturn an election, less than a year away from the opportunity for the American people to do that very thing. It's ludicrous. It's outrageous. And by God, if we're going to read the mind of this president, then it's time somebody starts talking about why the president would feel the way he does, why the president would be defensive and suspicious and wanting to find out the levels of corruption that have existed around him and who was involved in this effort to take him out. Had a listener, Mark Levin, tweeted about this, others about an amazing speech from the Attorney General William Barr delivered to the Federalist yesterday. And I've got a bunch of audio of that for you that we'll get into during the show. But I want to go to break with this, 303-696-1971, if you'd like to weigh in. Because this is the reason that Donald Trump is as wary as he is as untrusting of those around him, many of those around him as he is, and is as aggressive as he can be in pushing back, fighting back, calling them out, and exposing them. William Barr yesterday at The Federalist.
And they rallied around an explicit strategy of using every tool and maneuver to sabotage the functioning of the executive branch and his administration. Now, resistance is the language used to describe insurgency against rule imposed by an occupying military power. It obviously connotes that the government is not legitimate. This is a very dangerous and indeed incendiary notion to import into the politics of a democratic republic.
This was just a couple of minutes into William Barr's speech, and what he was talking about is from the moment that Donald Trump surprised, shocked the world, blew away the Democrats with his election, the resistance was formed. Washington Post, New York Times, this week with George Stepan Olivas, all of those folks started talking about impeaching this president. And they thought, man, that may be a bridge too far, but we've got collusion. We've got obstruction. We've got how much everybody, they think, in their little circle, hates this president, and we'll work on that. And we'll appoint the most noble of investigators, Bob Mueller, absolutely unassailable in his integrity and his fairness. And we'll give him 2 years and $30 million, $40 million, whatever he needs. 13 angry Democrats to depose and investigate and charge people around the president until we get something on him. And it fell on their face. And now as they see all the policies of this president working so effectively for our economy, trade deals sitting in Congress for months now between the America and Mexico and Canada, the USMC, that even the Democrats want to vote for, but Nancy Pelosi won't bring it up. All of these steps that he's taking in the face of every step of the way resistance from the left and from many in his own party, the ones that he refers to as scum, the ones that he says are trying to take him out for things that he did not do or because they disagree with his policies, and not take him out at the election, at the ballot box, but take him out through innuendo, through leaks, through releases, through lies. That's why the president is responding the way he does. If we're going to look into the mind of the president in that sentence, in that transcript, then we also need to understand what he's been dealing with, really since the day he rode down the escalator with his beautiful wife, but especially since the day he was elected president of the United States. I know I've rambled on. 303-696-1971 if you'd like to weigh in. We're going to hear some tidbits from William Barr and more. The show that comes on after me, Craig Silverman Show. Craig and I have known each other for a while now. I've admired his work. Listened to Dan Kaplis and Silverman when I could back in the day. And just love the way Craig assesses things, analyzes things, talks them through, takes the tough positions. That's great. And he has really taken it upon himself to prosecute, he says, objectively, the impeachment efforts against the President of the United States. And I heard it was told to me that he wanted to, that he said that he would debate or discuss with other hosts on the radio station. Back in October, he said that. And so I immediately, when I heard about that, I went back and I listened and it was true. And so I texted him and said, hey, let's do the last segment of my show, first segment of your show. Let's get it started. Let's do it. Let's get both sides of this out on the table. And so I just want to remind him and you that that still stands. But for some reason, after the show last week, he decided to talk about our show. And we'll get into that a little bit later as well. In addition, we'll be joined by Jack Cashill author and commentator at the top of the hour. If you're a regular Peter Boyles listener, you know him well. We'll continue the conversation about the Trayvon Martin hoax and why it matters so very much, the new movie, and what's ahead because of the new movie, why it matters so much to the election coming up in 2020. So it's almost 6:30. Sorry about that, but stay with us here. It's Wake Up with Randy Corporan on 710 KNUS.
Now, back to Wake Up with Randy Corporan on News Talk 710 KNUS.
This song always put a smile on my face. Glad it popped up in the bumper rotation as the sun rises. It is a gorgeous purple, pink, beautiful looking morning. Getting ready to start. Looks like a decent day. Chance of a few showers, but we should see highs of 60 today, 58 tomorrow and clearing, 63 and mostly sunny on Monday, 67 by Tuesday. Hard to beat. And I'm so excited tonight about the War for America's Soul, News Talk 710's great event with Dennis Prager, Michelle Malkin. They'll be here live and in person. As you know, it was rescheduled to tonight after the big snowstorm knocked us out of the box a couple, two or three weeks ago. And if you have tickets, please, please, please listen closely. The start time of the event has changed. The VIP event begins at 4 o'clock now. 4 o'clock today if you're a VIP-er. And the main event now begins at 5:30. 5:30 for the main event, general admission. 4 p.m. for the VIP. We really look forward to seeing you on Saturday night. And that was funny after I mentioned Craig and his really, I guess, reacting to our show last week, which is something that, you know, just doesn't get done. Peter and I had certainly intense disagreements about the 921. I've disagreed with other hosts. Dan Kaplis and I had it out one time on the air when I was at the Republican National Convention. And so, you know, things get elevated and you talk to each other. You can do it on air. You can do it off air. It can get heated. It can be great. But to just comment, like on the guest, we had Joel Gilbert last week on our show to talk about the Trayvon Martin hoax, which I believe, and I know some things I can't talk about yet, but I believe is going to actually factor into the election next year. To comment about that was just odd, and we'll dig into that a little bit later. But just as a reminder, here's what Silverman said. He said it again after our show last week.
I heard it said that I'm prosecuting the case. I'm not the prosecutor.
He was referring to me.
I'm an analyst of what's going on, and we talk about the facts of the case objectively here in my island of independence, and I will debate people on the issue, and I look forward to that.
By people, I assume he has to mean other hosts, because that's what he said originally. That's what caused me to text him and propose that we divide up our shows, you know, into mine, beginning of his, when we get that set up. And I look forward to it as well. But you cannot be looking at these things objectively without thinking about what's going on behind the scenes, what the president is having to deal with. The resistance, as William Barr talked about. And this clip was just so powerful to me. I want to play it once more for you in case you're just joining the show.
Unfortunately, just in the past few years, we have seen these conflicts take on an entirely new character. Immediately after President Trump won election, opponents inaugurated what they called the resistance. And they rallied around an explicit strategy of using every tool and maneuver to sabotage the functioning of the executive branch and his administration. Now, resistance is the language used to describe insurgency against rule imposed by an occupying military power. It obviously connotes that the government is not legitimate. This is a very dangerous and indeed incendiary notion to import into the politics of a democratic republic. President Trump won election.
Yeah, I just have to agree with the Attorney General. It's so important to understand what is going on behind the scenes, what this president has had to deal with. And how interesting, isn't it, that the Attorney General, when we know that Daniel Horowitz's Inspector General report is about to be released, when reports are that there are actually criminal referrals in the IG report, recommendations for a pursuit of a criminal case against, I have read in several different places, people including James Comey, former director of the FBI. How interesting that William Barr would be making that speech on the eve of, we believe, before Thanksgiving. William Barr said that the release of that report is imminent earlier this week, imminent, just around the corner. And he chooses to make these comments, make this speech right now. Boy, there must be people just sweating in their shorts on how their names may pop out in this investigation. And to me, the timing couldn't be better. And that's another reason you have to be dubious of this impeachment hoax, this impeachment inquiry. Yes, we know it's a political process. We understand that the House can choose to impeach on what it chooses to, and with a majority, they can vote to impeach, and they very likely will. But when you find out that a cabal of people, and it is encompassed by so many of these radical leftists who are in charge or in positions of power in the Democrat Party, have been talking about impeachment since long before there was ever a transcript of a call between President Zelensky and President Trump, then you have to doubt the motives. And when you hear these decades-long public servants, ambassadors, and others who have bought into the deep state foreign policy and are saying, well, I heard from this person who was on a call or heard somebody who was on a call and believed that their conclusion was, when that's the kind of evidence that's being brought forward, then it is absolutely time to say, hold on. I'm not here to be an analyst. I am objective. If I get other evidence, I will analyze it and talk about it. But I am here as an activist because I believe there is a resistance. I believe there is a radical left that is in the process of trying to change the fundamental direction and fundamental principles of this country. And it's not just this country. It's a globalist cabal of masterminds who know what's best for you. So when I'm on the air, I'm going to take advantage of this microphone and all my different speaking invitations and Tea Party officer in the Arapahoe County Republican Party, all of those kinds of things that I can make a difference in to advocate for stopping this leftist takeover, this socialism, this masterminded control of you and me and our kids and their futures. I'm going to stop it. I cannot take an ambassador, whether it's Taylor with his years of heroism and serving all different presidents, all different parties, or Yovanovitch with her self-righteous comparison of herself to people who died in Benghazi, when they themselves did not think that this was worthy of investigation.
I remember going over convincing our team, or others, to convincing us that we should be providing for loan guarantees. And I went over, I guess, the 12th, 13th time to Kyiv, and I was supposed to announce that there was another $1 billion loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to press conference. I said, I'm not going to, we're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said, I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours? I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Oh, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid.
So that was okay because for the deep staters, because for these folks.
But there is something unique. You'd have to agree that now the impeachment inquiry is underway, sparked by a complaint from someone within the intelligence community. Feeds the president's concern and often used term about a deep state. Being there to take him out.
Thank God for the deep state.
Yeah, thank God for the deep state. As long as the bribery, the quid pro quo, the clear intervention or interference in the activities in the government of another country that is evidenced by Joe Biden bragging, by the way, to the Council on Foreign Relations, if that's not deep state enough for you, and they ignore that, then I don't intend to take them seriously. Those people thought this was okay.
This is my last election. Yeah. And after my election, I have more flexibility.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand. I transmit this information to the legitimate and understand.
After my election, I'll have more flexibility. I understand. I will send this information, whatever the heck he said, to Vladimir. Obama provided blankets and food to Ukraine. No lethal force weapons. Those missiles did not get to Ukraine under the Obama administration. They got there under the Trump administration. Obama sat on his hands, used his flexibility when Russia invaded to take back Crimea. And that's okay. With these star witnesses of the left, it's not okay with me. I know we've got calls on the line. I'm running late every single time. Let's get to our break right now. We'll get to Frank first on the other side. Stay with us here. Wake up with Randy Corporan, 710 KNUS.
We now return to Wake Up with Randy Corporan on News Talk 710 KNUS.
We are back, Voodoo Judge. I love it. 7 minutes to go until 7 o'clock, 6:53. Randy Corporan's sun is trying to come up. Still kind of dark outside. Quick reminder, 4 o'clock for the VIP today on the War for America Soul. Dennis Prager, Michelle Malkin, can't wait. I've got some information for both of them. Can't really get into it right now, but I'm going to talk to them in some general terms about something that may be very impactful on the election next year. So I can't wait to see them both. Can't wait to see you there. If you have general admission tickets, show up at 5:30. Let's jump to the first phone call of the day. Sorry I've kept everybody waiting so long, but it's Frank in Denver. Good morning, sir.
Hey, Randy, thanks for all you do. Looking forward to yours and Craig's interaction toward the end of your show and the first of his. I think
if it happens, I mean, hasn't been agreed to yet.
I hear what you're saying. I heard him last week, and I think I called in and told him that I look at all this as a spectrum of 0 to 100 and 50 being in the middle. And if you come down on the left side of 50, you're a lefty, and if you come down with your points more on the right side of 50%, you're a righty. And I think if you guys interact, what it's going to come down to is the differences in your styles, you being more of a defense type JD and trying to listen to the argument of the accused and defending against it, and him being the prosecutorial voice trying to convince a jury that this person should be hung out to dry. And I think that's what you're seeing in Shifty Shift, who is a prosecuting JD, and he has used the money and the power of the United States House of Representatives to carry on this farce trial, to hold his own little star chamber in the basement without actually due process, allowing anyone who has a fair-minded question from the right to bring up an issue until he trots out and can sift through all the witnesses that he would like to bring to see what they have. and it's fully executed in the public court now that he's arranged them all. This is typical Democratic policy. These guys have been working on this strategy for 60 years, and they've got judges in place all up and down through the system. They've got, not only local judges, but Supreme Court justices and district judges that always somehow, despite the evidence, seem to vote the way that they want it to go, political justice warriors. So it should be fascinating. I hope he will do that. I think the burden is heavy, though, to convict, because I think Trump has to be in our special court of case of way we do things in America. Somebody has to be the final arbiter of the judgment, because Trump alone as president has the summation of all the information of all these different intelligence sources, legal sources, warriors, intelligence that we will never know about to make some of these decisions. Yes, is Trump perfect? No, he's not. I think if I was going to tell something to Craig, in biblical times, God sent this fellow called David to be this imperfect man to be the king of the Jews to save them. And I would say in current times, I think he sent this fellow called Trump to be an imperfect warrior to help save our country too.
Well, it's a great perspective on everything, Frank. I am definitely judging. I was no Trump fan going in. It took me a while to come around to even vote for him, but I had to because, of course, Hillary. But it's his performance on the world stage and with the economy and in so many different other ways, including his unwillingness to bend over and say, thank you, may I have another, as one of our texters sent in this morning. Every time the deep state or this resistance, as William Barr was talking about, tries to come after him. And I'll tell you what, I think it's telling. I've got to stick you on hold, Frank, because we're out of time. We're up against it. Jack Cashel on the other side. But I think it's very telling that the Denver Post doesn't even talk about the impeachment hoax until page 12 of the Saturday paper. Yeah, it was a big failure. So when we come back, we're going to talk with Jack Cashel. He'll have some insights, his perspective on impeachment, of course. But we're going to get back into the Trayvon Martin hoax. Hopefully we'll make it relevant or at least interesting for Craig Silverman. He was critical about it last week. Surprised me. But I think what could come out of what's going on with Trayvon Martin could have a very big impact on the election in 2020. So we will dig into all of those things and then get back to your calls in the 7 o'clock hour. So sorry to be late. So glad to have you along. Stay with us, 710 KNUS.